Amen. Okay, I'm going to do tonight's class a little differently. You've heard of Pharisees and you've heard of scribes, but I have my own personal reader. And it is Jennifer. What I'm going to have her do, does anybody remember where we left off? Not that we're going to start back there. Where was it? Page?
Bottom of page 13.
Oh. Okay, well, then I'm not far off at all. All right, thank you for keeping track of that. Okay, so Jennifer, if you'll come up and let's turn to the page 13, those of you that have it or have access to it. And I'm going to let you, I've got it open up here, so when you need it. The title is Trust the Lord. No, we're going to actually start with Trust the Lord, and then we're going to go down, because I wanted to pick us back up where we were kind of flowing. So if you just read just that paragraph with the things underneath that.
The things that we usually desire are changes in the external situations and trials. Many times these changes can be made, some by the intervention of God, and some by the proper response from us. What we must learn to do is to trust the Lord, number one, for our deliverance, and number two, in spite of our deliverance.
Okay, so did anyone, excuse me, did anyone notice a a phrase in here that we really haven't covered yet on a certain front, the specific way that it was? Did anybody catch a phrase that you might want to see if that was it? Raise your hand. Okay, do you want her to read it again? Okay, there you go.
I didn't get it either, and I read it. The things that we usually desire are changes in the external situations and trials. Many times these changes can be made, some by the intervention of God, and some by the proper response from us.
Right there. Do you see that? Some of these trials could be taken away by the proper response from us. Can I get a hearty amen on that?
Amen.
Okay. Because usually, I mean, and this isn't necessarily true of all of us here, but in many churches that I've been in over the years, the goal is you have to be delivered from every trial. You have to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like, you know, and there's no thought for that this could be God testing you, or there's no thought for this could be the sufferings of Christ that you have entered into with him. In other words, there could be purposes for those things that are more than just the enemy trying to do bad stuff. And that's one of the purposes of this class and the purpose of this book. Because, and it was shared very well last class, but, you know, the more we understand the different breakdowns of the subjects throughout this book, the more we're going to be prepared to flow with the Lord instead of trying to get the Lord to flow with our problems all the time.
Yes.
You know, that's the preeminent thing, I'm saying. So this thing of giving God the proper response, or recognizing what the situation is that you're in, and having the proper response within that. That's progress. That's progress. Or we can just be, oh, I'm a Christian, I got saved, doop de doo, whatever. Oh, what was that? That must have been the devil, you know, and just. Just kind of not knowing anything, hardly, except for our little life and how Jesus is going to relate to it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, if you'll pick up right here.
Can I make a little comment? I was thinking about a proper response from us, like changing the situation or changing the external is a soft answer turns away wrath. So like wrath is the trial or the whatever, and a soft answer can change a situation because it's the right response from us. So
So it would be like this. I'm going to kill you if you don't do right now.
Okay.
or it would be.
What would I say?
Please don't hit me.
Just kidding. I wish my kid, my kid got a kid here. Israel, while in Egypt, cried out unto God by reason of their affliction, Exodus 2:23, and he delivered them by the hand of Moses. Here we see a clear case of affliction, prayer, and then deliverance. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, was also afflicted, but when he prayed for deliverance, he did not receive it. We need to be prepared for either instance. We tend to always go to the extremes. We either expect deliverance all of the time, or we never seek deliverance at any time. Because not all trials are from the same source or for the same purpose, we need to find God's way for us to be content, whether in deliverance or in affliction, from which we have not been delivered. We need to learn to change our attitude towards our circumstances.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on anything that said? Anybody beside me? Yeah, Mallory.
I think it brings a lot of hope that it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. Even if there's the sufferings of Christ or chastisement, whatever, it could be deliverance or contentment without deliverance in any of those situations. It's not even necessarily the same thing each time for each situation. So the Lord is big, you know, and wanting to flow in a relationship with us.
Yeah, I mean, more of these sort of things there are, and much more beyond this, we are learning to be with him. We are learning to know his mind. We are learning to not be earthbound. There's a scripture that says, quit ye like men, meaning mankind. Stop being that and start being the sons of God. And one of the things I was thinking about with this reading was that, you know, you can have... Well, let me say first and foremost that, you know, we talk a lot about Christ crucified and the Lamb, particularly in relationship to the Lamb, and the Lamb in as far as not necessarily fighting everything that comes your way, but the Lamb laid down his life for us, and we have that same spirit within us. But with that could very possibly come a person who reads that like, well, then I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't, or maybe they don't even say I should, they just don't ever cry out for help. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they can think, well, they're being lamb-like. Mm-hmm. But even that, you have to know the difference.
Amen.
Because you know what? You have a Father.
That's right.
You have a Father. And he's a good Father.
Yes.
And he cares. I mean, my real father was not good, and my stepfather was even way worse. So I had to learn to trust that this Father was a true Father, and I found out that he is. And I love him for it. So instead of just, you know, being quiet and taking everything that happens, it's okay to go to him. It's even okay to go to him and say, Father, I'm not sure what category I'm in right now. Could you let the Holy Spirit help me? Or, Father, if this, you know, think about Jesus' words. If it be possible, take this away from me. You see? And, you know, why if we know, like Jesus, that Jesus still had to go through the cross, then why would we even pray like that? Well, number one, you pray like that because you're submitted to your Father. And because, number two, because there's a trust that he is in control of the situation. And I mean, I've had people come to me over the years, and they would say something like, you know, I prayed, and God, you know, God hasn't done anything yet. And I said, well, maybe that's a no. I mean, you know what I mean? Because we think when I pray, well, it's got to be yes. But we wouldn't really say that within ourselves. We would start saying that or showing that that's our way of thinking once he hasn't done anything for a while or something like that. I thought it was interesting, and I think that there's a few comments like that in here about Israel when they were in Egypt. And they were down there 400 years out of the land. And the only time it mentions that they prayed was by reason of, what is the wording? I forget. Yeah, their affliction. In other words, at no point were they involved with God in relationship to his plan for them to be in the land, the promised land. You see, so while it may, you know, sound a little more complicated as we go, it's not complicated when you are, number one, when you're enlightened to some of these differences. And that's why we have this class. And that's why we have the Bible, so that we can see examples of that, and then we can, you know, ask our questions, and not just to the Father, but to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent to reveal Christ. And if we read something that we think, well, is this meant to, you know, reveal Christ, or you ask the Holy Spirit, because he came to reveal Jesus unto us. All right. So anybody got a comment after hearing some of that? Now remember, the goal is not just to sit and hear the things that I say, but to see if something pops up so that you know, because we want this give and take, and that includes you guys on Zoom, but I usually need Lindsay to help me know if somebody's turning on their hello, I need, you know, I have something. Yeah, come on.
Well, just that you're not unspiritual to cry out. I mean, that was a revolutionary sentence to me, because I would get to that place and I'd know I was like a carnal mess. You know what I mean? I was so guilty, like, here I am listening to the devil. I know I'm wrong and God doesn't want anything to do with me. I have no right to speak to him. I'm probably the only one who's ever felt that way. You know, I know I'm alone in this, but it has been bad.
Truth at the time.
So I'm talking about this morning. But, you know, and it would always come to me, God wants nothing to do with you. You just need to get better before you have anything to say to him. And I remember when I first heard this in Bible school, and I went, you've got to be kidding. He wants me to cry out. And it was a revolution. I was a really strong Catholic. I was like, you know, you just, penance first, penance, you know. And the Lord's like, no, I want you to cry out from your horrid flesh mess that is you. And you're guilty for every bit of it. But I am your dad. You need me right now. You need all that I am, all that I have, all that my spirit is, every resource that's in your Father and his Son inside of you. You need to cry out that they help you. And it changed my life to this day, you know. So I just wanted to say, let's do it.
Amen. And she hasn't repented since.
No. Free call since then.
Okay. If you come, I guess we're here. Huh?
Okay. The truth, this is trust for deliverance. The truth is that God is our only source of deliverance. We must learn to trust the Lord for deliverance, whether we have an impossible situation or just a small problem. In these times, we can find that there is an advantage to having troubles and trials. Even though we often fail to understand how this could be true, we seldom ever learn from our trial-less times? Rather, it is in our adversity that we learn. In the hopeless situations, we turn to the Lord for deliverance, and during the impossible trials, we put our faith in Him. Continue?
Yeah, let's stop.
Okay.
Okay. And she was correct to go, I think that one of the things that we should realize about this Bible school and this church is that I don't know everything, and things that I wrote 100 years ago when I was in my 30s, that was 100 years ago, my view has changed some. But I think that the basic thing that the Lord is using this for is to open our eyes, is to make us more attentive to His heart and to Him. The Scripture says in one place, and there's a bunch of them, but I can't remember how it's quoted exactly, but you'll remember and somebody can remind me exactly, I'm sure. When I was doing good, I went astray. You know. And, pardon?
Oh, I think it's Psalm 119.
What? Someone. It's easy to find. It's Psalm 119.
Yeah.
There's only 8,000 scriptures there. But the point being, and there are many along this line, and that is that when we are in our trials, when we are in our struggles, many, many, many times our attention is off of, this and that and all these other things. It goes to the Lord. We go to the Lord. Maybe we pray a whole lot more than we would otherwise. That doesn't mean that God isn't always active, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, or whatever, because He is. But we're not talking about the Lord. We're talking about us. We're talking about our condition. And I remember writing that because I had been, up to that point in my life, had many ups and downs, and I had seen a pattern. And the pattern was my prayers were more from the heart, and they were more with Him than they were just trying to, praying for a new car or something. You know what I mean? Well, Lord, I need a new car. I think when our new car, we wreck it, we go, oh, God. Anybody want to comment on any of that? Now, I do want to remind you that you guys were excellent last week. There were a lot of good comments, and I want the comments. I'm not,
The Lord told me a while back that when I was going through something really hard, He says, well, I need to do that because you really get lazy and slack up when things are going well, Mallory. And, I mean, it's just what you said, but He said it to me personally that I have a pattern. Like a real pattern of that I'll really get on my face and speak from my heart when I'm really going through it.
Right.
But when things are kind of moving just nicely, I tend to wander and really take my foot off the gas pedal instead of pressing in. And so I need the Lord like that. And He told me personally that was true of me. So.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, we get comfortable. And we go through periods of time where we're not as open or not as seeking as we should be, even as we should, not even based on crisis, even as we should be. And, it's hard for some people to believe that God could actually really use trials and problems for your good and for y'all's good, if you will. God understands y'all, you and Him. And But he does. And he's faithful to do those things. There was a time period that I went through in my life that every time I felt like the Lord would bring the hammer down in my life, I would automatically think I had sinned. Oh, I must have sinned. Well, I'd start going through this thing. What was it? Oh, you know, it's like you're digging in a dumpster trying to find your sin for why that happened. And in that particular case, there was not a sin. There was the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the calling of God. Scott, you got a comment?
Yeah, I do. Just one of the things the Lord has been speaking to me in regard to, you know, circumstances, trials and things, is it's kind of this question: can you receive this trial or this circumstance in the way that the Lord intended it, in as a gift? You know, because sometimes we look at the gift and we're like, it doesn't look too much like a gift,
right?
But you know, just when you see his intent, the intent of his heart, the love that's behind it, it does. Even though it's not pleasant necessarily to go through, it I don't know. It just changes the dynamic, I think, for me.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah.
I was thinking about Isaac sharing and how you're talking about there's a season where the Lord needed to do, Jesus needed to do miracles and they like build up their faith, and then he needed to disappear because you can't have faith if he's there. Faith is seeing something that's unseen, right? Believing in something. So he had to go away to prove our faith. So it's the same thing with hope. Like I caught myself a couple months ago and I'm like, I'm so hopeless. And he's like, no, if you thought that you were good, that's when you'd be hopeless. You can't hope for things if you have it all already. So if you have everything and everything's peachy keen and whatever, that you don't have hope. You lost hope because there's nothing else that you think that you need or that you want. But when we're broken and when we're suffering, we're going through trials, that's when we have the most hope, not when we're the most hopeless.
I went through a thing kind of like that, and the Lord, I was just crying out and going, why is this happening? And, you know, I thought I was doing so good and everything. And he said something like, don't you remember? I'm like, attentive, you know, it's going to be profound. He says, you're the earthen vessel, not the treasure. Well, that's what we're always going to be. We're not meant to be the treasure, and we're not meant to be perfect. A earthen vessel, you know, I mean, I don't know where that sun, that picture is now, but somewhere around here.
It's in the fellowship room.
It's in the fellowship room, and it's a picture that was painted by a brother when I was down in Costa Rica preaching, and he was interpreting for me and translating for me. And I was talking about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And at the same time, I would say a line, and he's supposed to say it back. I would say a line, and he would be standing there like this. And he's just like, man, you know, and he's just blown away. And so the next day, the next night, actually, he showed up and he brought me that picture. And it's a beautiful picture. And he said, the whole time, all I could see is this light and this glory coming out of the earthen vessel, but it had cracks, you know. And even through the cracks, the light was shining out, the treasure, the Lord, you know. And I thought, this guy was affected, you know what I mean? Well, this guy needs to be affected by that too, and recognize that we're going to fail, we're going to mess up, we're going to do things wrong. You know, my same old deal is, you know, if you're on a bicycle and you fall down, you get up, I mean, you're crying and, you know, I fell down and I thought I had it and it was doing so good. And, you know, the devil put a rock in front of me or whatever, you know. And I've always said, just get up, dust yourself off, and get back on and keep going. Because the Lord's still with you. You don't lose the Lord over even the worst of things. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so there's trust. That's what this section has been about, is trust. Anybody? I thought I saw somebody else with a comment. Okay. Let's move on. Isn't Jennifer doing a great job? Woo!
The Israelites spent 400 years in captivity in Egypt, and yet we have no record of them calling unto the Lord until a new Pharaoh was established who began to persecute and afflict them. Do not fear suffering, for it is God's way of forcing us to turn to Him. If we were never in a battle, then we would never know the triumph of victory. Instead of letting the affliction get the best of us, we must use it to our own advantage. The Lord is the great deliverer. When we are in the darkness of our sins, we turn to Jesus to translate us unto the light of His kingdom. We should use the same principle while in the darkness of our affliction. When we turn to the light of His deliverance, we tend to appreciate the light more when we have been in the darkness. If there was no darkness, then there would be no need for light.
Okay. Anybody comment on that? If there was no darkness, there'd be no need for light. Well, it is true that there is a contrast. And without a contrast, we would never know the difference of a whole lot of stuff. It's funny that I was just commenting on that. That was the next thing to read. But they had been in Egypt for 400 years. That's you know, a lot of, not just, they hadn't been in total bondage that time because they were blessed under the Pharaoh that Joseph worked under, right? So it was super blessed, actually. It was super blessed. But then they started entering into a time where it's not super blessed. And then they start crying unto the Lord for deliverance. But in their cry, they did not cry, "O Lord, bring us back to the land that You promised us and where You want to bless us, a land that flows with milk and honey, while we're sitting here making straw bricks, you know, for Pharaoh." And they're crying out for deliverance, but they're not crying out for what Your plan is. And we can do that. Can you see the difference? You can be crying out for deliverance, but you don't even know that the situation you're in may be because you've messed up over here where His real plan was all along, you know. And so they all moved down to, you know, whose fault was it that they were in Egypt anyway? Come on. Jacob's, Israel, God. The brothers. Joseph. I was thinking of Joseph. Because he didn't go back to the land and he could have. Now, I know we would never blame Joseph. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. But he brought everybody down there. I mean, one good thing that would help him is that it would promote him to, for his family to see that he is successful. Right? I mean, you don't know the motives going on. I don't know the motives going on. I'm not even saying because I don't know. But I know human nature. I mean, I know the worst of human nature. You know where I learned that from? this church, not really. not really. Right here. Right here. But anyway, so, I mean, there is that reality that we're crying out to get out of the bondage when God might be waiting for out of our mouth and through our lips to say, deliver us from this place that we might be back where you want us to be. Okay, now, there is a scripture in Genesis 15. Anybody familiar with it? Really? Are we talking about the same one? Okay. Kelly, what are we talking about? You were the first yes.
The dream he had about that they would go and there would be 400 years of double darkness is what you taught in the firstborn class.
Right.
And that they would... That would happen before he saw that scene before.
Right.
So there was way before Joseph was born, or even way before Isaac was born, or Ishmael.
That's right.
God showed him this period of darkness where they would be in a foreign land. And that's the way God saw it, darkness in a foreign land. But he said, but you will be brought back. God knows.
He knows.
And he's, you know, he's not freaking out. We're freaking out. We're us. You know? Instead of, let's go by him. Let's let his life direct us. How did Paul put it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not a thing of robbery to be considered equal with God, but he made himself, Jesus made himself of no reputation. The Son of God did that. Came down here, gave his life, laid it down. He's going to do that all the time. For us, I mean. And he has. We all will never be able to count all the times that he has covered us and taken care of us, or, you know, all the provision that is there. And that's something I hope to get into more soon, as I am at this present moment spending most of my hours of every day trying to really build a picture from the Word of God for all of you about the world of Dunn that I've preached and shared on in Ireland. It is life changing. It is. Anyway, all right. Shall we move along?
Time after time, God has shown that he will deliver us in time of need if we will only trust him. His ears are open to those who are afflicted. But what about those times when we turn to him for deliverance and there's no answer? Many would tell you that the deliverance does not come because our weak faith is weak. At times, this may be true, but even when Jesus would tell his followers that they had little faith, or tell them to only believe, he would still perform the deliverance needed. He did this in spite of the fact that they were of little faith.
Well, what do you think about that one? If no one has a comment on that one, I'm shutting down this class.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. That should be the, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and I have been around this too recently, where if you have little faith, it's your fault that you're sick. It's your fault that you're having trials. Like, there's this weird thing, if it's just the devil all the time or whatever, there's a self-righteousness that comes with that and judgment. So if you're going through anything, then you just need to get with the Lord more. And, like, it was so shocking, because we're so spoiled here with Christ and crucified, life out of death. He's working all things to conform us to the image of Christ. It was just like a slap in the face, like, what? What are you talking about? And then just, and to see other people so broken and hurting and thinking that, you know, and like trying harder and then being up for a day and you just get not, this really is the basis of knowing the Lord in a real way and understanding our life on earth, what it really means to be conformed to Him, that we just can't be, and that it's not about our faith, but the faith of the Son of God.
Amen. Yeah. Preach
it. That's right.
Okay, yeah.
In my worldviews class, there was a book I had to read called The Plague, and in it, the person I... In it, there was a pastor person, and because of the plague, he goes, his first preaching is, this is all because you guys are terrible people. That's why the plague's happening. You guys don't have enough faith.
Yeah.
That was his first preaching.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And in my class, we discussed it, because it's like, well, no, this is not really how it works. And he was like, that's if you don't, any problems that you have, it's because you don't believe enough, you're not good enough. And I was like, he must have not read Job at all. Like, the whole story of Job. He must have just missed
it. Or the Bible.
Or like the whole Bible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like a couple.
I think he needs to go back and reread. He was like Catholic, I think. But I still think they have the book of Job.
Should.
So, I think before he made that preaching, of course it was a book and the main character or the person who wrote the book was not Christian, so that's why he portrayed them that way. But he did study somewhat and he put some truth in, or scriptures at least in it. So, you know, the book of Job.
Yeah. Well,
the book of Job is pretty much mostly speeches from guys who don't know what's going on. And that's the truth. Now, I mean, you know, it's the truth. It's the truth. And it's written for that purpose. It's not like they're really men of God and portrayed that way in the book of Job, and Randy's saying something negative about it. That's not what's going on. They are from God the way that he brings it out in the book of Job. They are off from what they are proclaiming. And but so is Job, which makes us all equal then, doesn't it? Okay, let's talk about three different kinds of faith. Okay. Faith for deliverance, faith, let's just say, I had the correct word a while ago. Faith for deliverance, faith for, I can't remember. So I'll get to the main one. Faith in God.
Right.
Faith in God, folks. You know, it's not about, you know, whether he delivers you or not. It's about he knows what he's doing in your life. And I say this all the time. I say it all the time to him about my life. When something happens or this goes on or whatever, I say, Father, you know what I need. Because I believe my Father knows what I need. He knows this exact trial or this exact upheaval or this whatever. He knows what I need. Now, it's not that I need, you know, trials. He knows that I need this because all things work together, not by themselves, but work together that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. Okay. So it's not just this one thing. And we always see, because we're individuals, so everything is individual thing, individual mind, individual, all, everything's individual, whereas in God, everything is one. One God, one Father, one faith, one, you know, Lord Jesus. It's all one. It's all one. And it is not sewed together. It is fitly joined together. Now, I know you throw a lot of fits and you think that, you think that's what that scripture means, that you're fitly joined together because you're a... Anyway. But when it comes right down to it, the bottom line is, I have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with God. And your relationship with Him, the greatest faith that you can have is not knowing where this thing's going to go, not knowing why this happened, not knowing everything. You can ask, but when He doesn't say, then you just sit down in faith and you say, I'm with you. You know, I'm with you. And I usually add in, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. You know, yeah. To them that love God. It's even in the scriptures there where it talks about all things working together for good. So, why not just tell Him you love Him every once in a while? But certainly even in those situations where you have no clue and yet you have Him. You have Him. And again, it's not just God. It's your Father and it's your Lord and your life, Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit. And there are no greater treasures than them who are one. And the oneness that they're offering us. It's special. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I appreciate what you're saying so much. And, you know, Mark and I were talking about our kids. There's a lot of advantages and disadvantages with their hearing impairment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to get into the details, but of that, I know that the Lord uses, especially me as a mother, you know, when you see the disadvantages about them being deaf, it hurts.
Sure.
It hurts a lot. But I have a choice. I can, like you were saying, I was just so blessed by what you just said, because I can just see it and trust the Lord that God made them the way they are for a reason. Yeah. I can trust in Him.
Yeah.
I can trust in Him, and I never forgot that Mark doesn't remember this, but, you know, guys are like that, I guess, so I don't know. But the doctor, when we were doing so many tests on Levi to find out why they are deaf, and the doctor couldn't find anything, and then he comes to the room and says to us, say, your kids have proved us, the ones that we are the professionals, the ones that know it all, and then that you, I can give you a test and tell you why you keep this and that is happening to you, to your body, that your kids have proved that we are idiots, that we are stupid. I can't tell you why your kids are deaf. Again, this is just pure bad luck, he said, to us. And he was really encouraging me to have another kid so that he can prove that it's just bad luck. And I just remember the Holy Spirit inside of me now. No, God made them to be that way.
That's right.
So if I can cry to the Lord for them to be healed, and they are not healed, I can stay with the Lord and say, Lord, you are my Father, and I do love you, and I know that you are with them, and you protect them, and just to see little things and here and there, how they love the Lord.
Yes.
How the Spirit of the Lord moves in them.
Yes.
That it just humbles me. Because sometimes I get stressed and I get like, Lord, why don't you just make them normal and just give them the hearing they need?
Yeah.
Because it'll be a lot easier in many, many areas.
Sure.
But anyway, so thank you.
Amen.
You made them that way por la gracia de Dios. I mean, it is all things working together for good. And, you know, yes, I mean, whether it's this one or your situation or someone on Zoom, it hurts. It's not easy. Sometimes it's really, really hard. But the Lord never changes. He never changes. And He will never change what He has done at the cross. And He will never change the fact that He joined with us. And He will never change that He gave us His Father and said, when you pray, pray our Father, not just my Father. We've been brought into incredible things. And when I think of y'all's kids, I see the Lord in them. I see the Lord in them. And Isaac is just, he's incredible. Y'all may not fully realize all of the influence. Yeah, well, I can tell you even right now, but I won't tell you specifically. But it's the Lord in them. I mean, you know, everybody has kids, and kids can receive the Lord, and they can, you know, grow up in a Christian thing or whatever. But I get the feeling that your kids are getting the Lord because He just chose to bring them this path and put His hand on them in this way so that they would have Him in a way that others wouldn't have. It's not that they're better, but they are blessed if they will see it, you know. But that doesn't, you know. I mean, I know that y'all see that at times, but they are in God's hands, and it's not over with yet. And Jesus said, I told you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. So let's all just believe right now. Let's just pray for them. Why don't y'all gather around them, and we're just going to close with prayer for the Wallace kids and for the parents. We love you guys. You want to go over there? Father, we feel blessed to be able to stand with this family. Thank you for adding them to this church. They will never know how special they are to us. And partially, they'll never know, though it will be there, how special they are to you and how you're with them. You're with them in ways that you're not with others. And I know that they sometimes take menial tasks and whatever, but that's what Jesus did, and that's what His Spirit will do in us. It's special. It is a release of Christ that is so much after your image and your desire. Father, we pray that you'll just strengthen this family, this husband, and this wife as they bear what appears to be a burden, but they have trusted and entrusted you with their kids. And Father, but there will come times that we'll try to shake that. May our prayers be united with your heart to cover them. And may that faith that Patty was talking about that she has when it's all said and done, may it arise again, rise to new heights, rise and Father, just you look down and it just brings you glory. And Jesus, you would draw glory from their precious hearts towards you, that just keep going in spite of the problems. So, Father, thank you for tonight. I know many of us probably could use prayer, but I know that you wanted us tonight to just spiritually hug this family and let them know we see the Lord in them, and we do. and we see the Lord in their kids. And Father, that I see the Lord. I see the Lord in their kids, and I see what the potential of what could just break out just incredibly, while others might think less. I see your heart. I think that you would do well to make fools of us if we think lesser, because you highly esteem them in your Son. So, Father, just take care of all their needs, their financial needs, their medical needs for this family, all the different angles that would come. Hear the prayer of this body. Hear the prayer of those who have been joined with them in this journey that we're on. Father, we care. We do care. We care for our own. And we thank you that, Jesus, you are our good shepherd. That, Father, you are our Father. And Holy Spirit, you are our guide, and you will not lead us astray. In Jesus' name, amen.